4-year-old and a 6-year-old presented their mom with a house plant. They had used their own money, and she was thrilled. The older one said with a sad face, "Mom, we wanted to get you a bouquet, but we just didn't have enough money. We really liked it because it had a really nice bow on it. It had a nice ribbon, but it was too expensive." Curious, the mom said, "Well, what color was the ribbon?" "Purple, and it had writing on it," the little one chimed in. "Oh, really? What did it say?" "Rest in peace. We thought that would be perfect for you, asking for a little peace and a little rest." Spurgeon says, "I cannot tell you how much I owe the prayers of a good mother. I remember her once praying, 'Now, Lord, if my children go on in sin, it will not be for the ignorance that they perish. For my soul must bear swift witness against them on the day of judgment if they laid not hold of Christ and claimed him as their personal Savior.'" Mrs. Edison had to fight for her young boy, Tom. Maybe you've heard of Tom Edison. When he was a young lad, his teacher sent him home with this note. And now let me just say that we would never receive a note from a teacher like this in these days. But his teacher sent him home with this note that said, "Your child is dumb. We can't do anything for him." Mrs. Edison wrote the note back to the teacher that said, "You do not understand my boy. I will teach him myself." And she did, and the results were, light bulb, pretty good. All that to say this, a mother's love is never exhausted. It rarely changes. It never tires. It endures through all. In good repute and in bad repute, in the face of the world's condemnation, a mother's love still lives on. And today we're going to look at the incredible love and faith of a woman who was in desperate, desperate need. So, to guide us through that, I thought I would put up for you a sentence that's going to help us. Remember, we talked over the hub of the wheel last time. We're going to put up a sentence that's going to help us, and here it is. Okay? Here's my sentence. Jesus never refuses anyone who comes to him by faith. Jesus never refuses anyone who comes to him by faith. Stand firm. Today is your day. Now, faith is one of those things that, it's like love. You know, we can't see love, but we know love is there. And faith is like that. We can't see faith, but every time we step off a curb into traffic, or every time we sit in a chair, or every time we get into a car with our children driving, that's faith, right? Amen? And all the kids are like, "No, I'm a good driver." It's faith. But biblically speaking, at Harvest, we like to say this, and I was thinking maybe I need a poster for this for the lobby. But we believe that faith is believing God's word and acting on it, no matter how I feel, because God has promised a good result. See it there on the screen? Faith is believing God at his word, and acting on it, no matter how I feel, because God has promised a good result. It'd be always good to see that when we come in to the service on Sundays, right? Let's go through each one part by part. Believing God at his word. Believing God at his word. That's kind of important. God wrote us the love story, and we have to believe it. And then acting on it. Belief needs action to be faith. Belief needs action. Spend time in Hebrews 11. You'll understand this completely. It was the action that was the key to this Hall of Fame faith. Then I want you to notice, no matter how I feel. No matter how I feel. Okay, faith isn't a feeling. I don't feel like faith today. I feel like faith today. It's believing God's word and acting on it no matter how I feel. Regardless of what you feel. Exhibiting your faith towards whatever needs to be done. Well, like what, Nate? Tell me. Give me an example. Romans 12. We're focusing in on that in our memorization. Romans 12 says, if at all possible, as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. Sometimes I don't feel like living at peace with all men, but the scripture says, and I believe God in his word, and I got to act on it. Live at peace with all men. Goes on to say, bless those who persecute you and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Faith believes that and does it regardless of how we feel. Ladies, recently we did the marriage wheel. Guys, one place, ladies in another. Big part of the ladies' part of the wheel was that one word that nobody likes to talk about, but it's really in the scriptures, submission. Submission isn't how you feel. It's the biblical thing that you have to do, and you act on it by faith. Let's look at the last part, because God has promised a good result. He's created to be a certain way. And when we're living by faith, we desire the result that God intended, and it's good. Okay? So he's created it to be a certain way. And when we're outside of that, we don't see the good result. But when we are following by faith his word, no matter how we feel, acting on it, we see the good result in the land of the living. Well, what if I don't have faith, Nate? What if I'm really struggling in that? Well, let me just say this, and I love you, but you're not in a good spot. You're not in a good spot. Matthew 13, verse 58 says this, and he did not do many things, works there because of their unbelief. See, that's what you have. You don't have faith, you have unbelief. We can't please God without faith. We can't do the miraculous. God can't do the miraculous in our life without faith. We cannot receive the blessing without faith. James 4:3 says, you ask, but you do not receive. Why? Because of your faith. The reason you don't ask, and some of you don't even ask, is because you don't believe it will ever come to you. Some of you are not living in victory because you don't have enough faith. Some of you don't have enough strength. Some of you do not have the strength that God would give you today because you're not looking to him in faith. Some of you don't have the comfort from a heartache today because you're not presenting that to God in faith. You're not trusting him to solve it. And some of the people listening to right now don't even have salvation. And God would forgive you of your sins and give you the free gift of eternal life if you just ask. But you won't. You won't believe him. And so you're lost because of a lack of faith. So faith is the key. God never refused anyone who came to him by faith. In our text today, we're going to... I didn't plan this. I wish I were that good that we would end up on this story on this day. But as I looked at it, I'm like, wow, it's Mother's Day. And people are going to think I really planned it. I didn't. Say he didn't. Now say it like you really realize I didn't. Right. So, but we're here and we're going to look at this text where faith is stretched from faith to great faith. And sometimes this is a passage where somebody goes, what is Jesus saying here? This doesn't seem very loving. Or what does he mean by this dogs and tables and children? And we're in Mark chapter 7. But as I studied this text, I really wanted us to get a look at the whole picture of this story, because it's very key to understanding her steps of faith. So, a couple things. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 7. Did your Bible turn to 7? Okay, those of you that have it. Now, go back about 20 pages, maybe less, to Matthew chapter 15, because that's where the other part of this story comes in. Okay, so you can do the whole finger thing, right? Remember? Back before we had this on the screen, we had the actual Bible. And before you had it on your iPads, you had to actually pick up the Bible. And I would still suggest that these days. But you know, you can bounce back and forth if you want. Get the finger thing. Or if you can handle it on your laptop, computers, or whatever you're using, that's great. Or, because I love you, everybody say he loves us. I made a green sheet of paper that Jim has right now. And if you didn't get one of those, it's got the whole text, and I broke it down like we did at Good Friday and kind of put everything in its rightful place. We'll have it up on the screen. So if you want one of those, man, just stick your hand up. I want one of those. That's the easy way. All right. We all like that easy way. Either way, our main text for today is Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 7. If you'd like a Bible, just let Jim know as he comes through you'd like a Bible. Okay? All right. So on the screen as well to help you, here is our text. Let's look at it together and I will read. And from there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered the house, and he did not want anyone to know. Yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth. And she begged him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." And she was asking to cast the demon out of her daughter. But he did not answer her a word. Then his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." And he answered, "I was sent only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." We'll stop there for just a second. Just the mind of the story here, okay? They didn't have a lot of dogs that they had in their houses. They were called curds. They were wild dogs that ran around. But on an occasion, there were little puppies that would be in the house. Okay, so what he's talking about here is not the wild dogs that would run the streets, but the little puppies, all right? In case you were thinking Jesus just called this woman a big nasty dog, that's not what he's saying here. But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs that fall from the master's table." And he said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And her daughter was healed instantly. In the Greek, that means completely, permanently. And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Now that's our text. Here's the first thought that I want to get across from you. All right, here it is. Look up here for a second. When you are destitute, when you are at the end, Jesus is there for you. When you are at the end, Jesus is there for you. When you are struggling to find the next steps, Jesus is there for you. And if by some means this morning you're saying, "No, he's not," yes, he is. Yes, he is. If you are his child, he loves you. And he is there for you. What we see in our text and what we have read in our text today is that Jesus left the area of the Sea of Galilee. He had traveled north with his men. They had been longing for a vacation for some time. Now they go to get away from everything in Capernaum in that area. The Pharisees, the rulers, the King Herod, the people. He travels 50 miles north to the city on the outskirts of Tyre and Sidon. Most likely he finds a Jewish home and he stays there with it. With those folks. It's time for the well-needed vacation. It's time to spend time with his men, to reconnect for what ministry lies ahead. Jesus is about to leave the north and head to the south on his way to the cross. Now, I appreciate what Mark says about Jesus in the opening verses. Do you have it there? He entered the house and did not want anyone to know. That's my kind of vacation. Okay? Just some folks like to go to the beach, and I don't mind the beach, but I don't mind staying in the house when everybody else is at the beach either, right? And nobody needs to know that I'm in North Carolina at a beach house. Right? I just love that. And Jesus is like, I'm here, I'm with you guys, he doesn't want anybody. But do you see what happens? Did you see right there in the text what was said? I underlined that in my Bible. I would suggest you do that too. He could not be hidden. There's such a truth in that text. That when it's darkest, the light shines brightest. And he cannot be hidden. Now, whether she heard about Jesus coming to the area or recognized him or one of his disciples as they went through the local markets, we don't know, but this mother knew Jesus was near. What do we know about this mother? She was defined as a Syrophoenician by birth, which is a proximity statement. She's Greek, she's a Gentile, but the Syrophoenician is to help understand that she is from the north, Syria, Phoenicia, not from the south, Egypt, Phoenicia, okay? So it's just to help Mark is defining for the Roman people where she's from. She was a Gentile, not a Jew, and that's going to become important as the story goes on. She was a mother. Mark said in the Greek, it reads that she had a little daughter. And then Matthew shows us why she came to Jesus. She had a daughter who was severely oppressed by a demon. Not just, maybe just a little bit, not just, well, she's got an issue. Severely oppressed. Now, dads, I'm just going to give you a heads up here. Husbands, it's going to be a good spot for an amen. I believe mothers can endure incredible things. Birth. Some of you husbands, it's coming because your wives are pregnant and wife is pregnant. I know there's two ladies here that are pregnant. That's totally horrible. Scratch that from the tape. They can endure incredible things. Birth, husbands. Thank you, ladies, for not saying anything there. Being home alone with the children all day long. Children and daddies who constantly make messes. You tracking with me? They can endure incredible things because God has given them the capacity to love their families in an amazing way. I've seen mothers endure even more, though. More severe situations, and they've done it with class and dignity. A rebellious teen. A pregnant child. A runaway. A child who goes from healthy to disabled in less than 8 hours. A death of a loved one. They have such a capacity. And it even gets more ramped up when they have some crazy husband who's thinking he's trying to help. And really all he's doing is causing more problems. Now with all that in mind, put yourself in this woman's shoes. She's come to Jesus because the child that she loved is demon-possessed. Not just a little bit, not just by maybe the minor demon, but severely oppressed. And she's reached the end. She's so lost. She's so low. Normal, to get to normal, they got to take a ladder up to the top of the gutter just to climb out. It's not possible anymore. And she's asking Jesus to do something that no other God could do. Cast out an unclean spirit. She had gone to the temples. She had gone to the sacrifices. She had done the chants. She got nothing. Their idols were made of stone and wood. They were manipulated by demons. And why would a demon grant a request to cast out another demon? It wasn't possible. Now, we don't know how long this girl had this problem. But we know that this woman is desperately loves this child and desperately wants her back to where she was before the fall. She's broken. She's at the end. Then she hears Jesus is in town. And she had heard of everything that Jesus had done. And she said, I got to get to him. And he could not be hidden. And I love it. You see this so much in Scripture, right? You see this in so much in Scripture. There's a separation between me and God. It's not supposed to be there. And I'm going to him. Love it. Can you relate? Have you ever been there? The comfort for me is that Jesus cannot be hidden. When she's at the end of all her trying, all her ways, all her gods, all this trying to fix what isn't fixable by human standards, she finally breaks, and this is so great, this is so great. Jesus is there for her. And he's there for you. Then notice, he starts the faith walk here. Point number two, direct your faith in the right direction. Direct your faith in the right direction. It's in me, or it's on God. There was some 321 gods and goddesses of Greek mythology. Roman's gods were renamed from the Greek gods. But going to them was what? Everybody say wrong direction. That's right. She could have exhausted all 321 of them. We don't know, but we know that she had temples there and she would go to them. Wrong direction. Now she has righted the ship. She came to the truth that it's either going to be in me, it's going to be on me, it's going to be me trying to handle this, or I'm going to give it to God. Listen, there's a good point right there. And you could look at your situations and you could be trying to fix it yourself. You could be trying everything in your own strength. And it can be in you or it can be on God. And you can just take it and give it to him. But I like my thing. It defines who I am. Fine. I'm just saying, you want to be free of that burden? In you or on God? That's putting it in the right direction. She reaches out in faith and she says, notice what it says in the text, have mercy on me, son of David. She's calling him the Messiah of the Jews. She's recognizing that he is the Messiah of God. And that's right direction. Everybody say, right direction. That's right, right direction. I love what David said in the scriptures in the book of Psalms when he said, I say to the Lord, you are my God. Give ear to the voice of my pleas for mercy, O Lord. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and will execute justice for the needy. Surely the righteous will give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people and he adorns the humble with salvation. Faith puts its trust in the right direction. Faith is believing God at his word, acting on it no matter how I feel because God has promised a good result. Misguided faith is wrong direction. So moms, look up here. You're illustrating my point I was going to make with you. You ever have a child ignore you? You're like, hey, Billy, I don't think we have any Billys here. Take out the trash. Billy. Yes, Mom. Right? You tracking? You with me? What we see in the text now is what seems like that's what Jesus was doing with this lady. She was asking and asking. Says that she came to him begging, which is in the imperfect text, which means she kept on doing it. Jesus, I know you're in there, Jesus. Please help my daughter. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What does the text say? But he did not answer her word. You might be thinking, that doesn't seem very right. Well, before you get all frustrated with this, understand he's taking you through steps of faith. Have you ever been at the end and you're pouring out your heart to God and it seems like there's no answer coming at all? And you're saying these things to him and you're like, God, I prayed that like 10 minutes ago. Why wasn't it answered? And then 24 hours, you're like, I've got to have been praying this all day and I haven't heard a word. Some would say that this is God saying, wait. I don't see wait here. He's there. She's trying to get an answer. He's just flat out refusing to give her an answer. And it's becoming a bit of a scene. So much so that the disciples are about to step in. Have you been there? God, I need your help. I need your help, God. Maybe he didn't hear me. Maybe this time I'm going to pray it louder. God, I need your help! He didn't hear that either. I'll pray it with passion. God, I need your help! God, do you hear me? Maybe I'll scream it. God, I need your help! I need your help. God, I need your help. God, where are you? And the testing of your faith seems like it's too much to bear. Because I don't hear anything, God. Why aren't you answering me? And you're not so sure how much more you can take. Here's what I want you to see. When you think Jesus is silent, keep praying. Okay? She didn't give up. She kept after it. She thought Jesus didn't hear her, so she maybe changed her tone, or she just changed her location, or she went to the window, or she pushed through the disciples through the door. But she didn't give up. Faith is believing God at his word and acting on it no matter how I feel. James tells us that the testing of our faith develops perseverance or steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Hupomene, to remain under. And when the pressure feels too great, you got to stay there and keep praying, because he's doing something, and he's doing something in you. And you may not see it in the moment. Just keep praying. It got so bad, though, now the disciples chimed in. Then the disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away. She cries out after us." Not a very sensitive statement right there, right? It's not like she was speaking something they didn't quite understand. Most likely Jesus was speaking to her in Greek when he talks to her. The disciples would understand. It's the national language of the world at that time. If Jesus was tired and needed a break, these boys had to be exhausted. They weren't used. He was the Son of God. They weren't used to this. You already can see their short-sightedness at the feeding of the 5,000. At coming back and all these people were around after he had sent them out. Now they really got the vacation with Jesus that they really wanted. And what happens the first day there? a woman shows up with a problem. Here we go again. He can't not work on vacation. The last thing they wanted was a working vacation. The Greek says that there was a constant crying out, and they were tired of hearing her voice. And the implication is, Lord, just heal the girl and send her away so that we can get back to us time. That's not very loving. And all that to say this, and it's probably going to resonate with many of you who have been struggling with a wayward or special child. Here it is. No one ever appreciates your pain like you do, except Jesus. Even in a church our size, people just don't get what you're going through. Amen? Am I right? You're embarrassed at times. You're frustrated at times. You have all these things to deal with, moms as moms, and now you have a child issue too. You come to church with a burden on your back and nobody gets it. It's one of the reasons I love small group, because those folks really try to help you unpack that burden as you open up to them, and they love you and they just want to help you. And I've seen it work in our small group. I've seen it work in other small groups, not just ours. Our church is full of great small groups that are doing that. And you need to get plugged in. It's still true, though, even in small groups, some people aren't going to quite understand everything, but they're going to be a little bit more loving because they're close to you. But Jesus understands. No one will ever appreciate the pain that you have to go through, except Jesus. Well, how can you say that? He's not listening here. I read ahead. Those words are not very nice. All right, just a quick question here. Did he send her away? Yes, no. Did he send her away, church? No. All right, didn't send her away. She's worked her way either into the house or onto the porch where they were at. She's crying out. We see the Lord's words here. He's about to do something. He's about to say something. Not directed at her, but directed at them. But she's on to this. And he did not answer her a word. Then his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." And he said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now notice her reaction. But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." Great faith never gives up. Great faith never gives up. Maybe good faith does. Maybe just you got faith. But great faith never gives up. She started outside. She's now at his feet. She went through silence, through all the people that didn't understand her, through the problems with her daughter, and now she's at his feet, one-on-one with the master. Great faith never gives up. Great faith keeps pressing through the separation, through the quiet, through the pain, through the impossible. She wasn't the lost sheep of Israel. She was a Gentile dog. But let's see what her faith gets her. And she came and she knelt before him and she said, "Lord," can you hear her there? Can you sense her pain? Can you sense her almost at the end? "Help me." What will Jesus say? "Let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take children's bread to throw it to the dogs, the little puppies." But she answered, "Yes, Lord, even dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs that fall from the master's table." Now, maybe as you've read this text or you're reading it for the first time, you're thinking, what kind of answer is that? She's asking for help and he's talking about dinner. Jesus is setting the rules here. Okay? Understand this. Whose table is it? Whose table is it? The master's table, right? Who's the children? The children are Israel, or some could make the case that it was the disciples. Who's the dog in the story? She's the dog. She's the little puppy under the table. With that in mind, let me read it again. Let the children be fed first. Master is saying, I'm going to feed my children. For it's not right for me to take children's bread and throw it to the dogs. In other words, I'm going to put it before my children and then I'm going to just grab half of it and throw it to you. She said, yes, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs that fall from the master's table. Anybody with really small children here or had really small children at one time? Okay, moms, come on, you should have your hands up. All right. So did your children ever drop food on the floor? Intentionally? Still to this day, Boaz? I love her response. Listen, I wish we had this kind of faith. She's not asking for the feast. What's she asking for? She's asking for the crumb. She believes that a crumb from Jesus is more than enough to heal her daughter. Oh, that we had that kind of faith. God, just give me a crumb. I read this statement this week and I agree with it. Great faith is faith that lays hold of even the slightest encouragement and turns it into a fulfilled promise. Great faith doesn't give up. Lord, increase my faith. And she never gave up. Look up here. Some of you are like that. You're not ready to give up. You're at the end. You're destitute. You needed to hear that Jesus is there for you. You needed to hear that again because he's not been answering, and I've still been praying, and nobody understands what's going on in my life. Nobody understands it. Except for Jesus. And Jesus is there for you. You've never given in. You've never wavered. You still believe. You're weary. Keep praying. Because when you finally get an audience with the Master, he will answer you. First, Jesus taught her relationship to the Jewish people and to him as the Messiah. And then he taught and gave her what she wanted. Her relationship was it. Jesus didn't. He came to the Jews first. Scripture lays hold of that. But Mark is so integral in, and this is one of the reasons that Pharisees had a hard time with him, because Jesus was bringing the picture of what it's going to look like by bringing Jews and Gentiles together. He did that when she said, I'm not asking for what belongs to others. I just want a crumb that hits the floor. And I know that if I get a crumb, that's enough. Now listen, I know some of you are there. God, just give me a crumb. That's why I included this. What may appear unloving may be God's greatest kindness. Great faith comes via testing. How are you doing? And he said to her, "A woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And the daughter was healed instantly, and she went and found the child lying in a bed and the demon gone. That's what Jesus does. But it may have seemed unloving at first. When you first read that, you're like, this is so unloving. How could he do this? But it was his greatest kindness. Because she had faith, and he took her from faith to good faith to better faith, to great faith. And some of you are the same way. You have faith. I believe. But he's taking you from good faith to great faith. But it's a process. And sometimes it may seem unloving, but it's God's greatest kindness. Abraham had it, but he did not relent. Jacob wrestled with God. Take time to read what David prayed in the Psalms. Daniel prayed 3 times a day for the Lord to restore his city and his nation as he was a slave in Babylon. The great prophet Jeremiah cried, "How long, O Lord?" and lamented the destruction of Judah and Jerusalem, so much so that there was a book of Lamentations written. Paul prayed for a thorn to be removed from his flesh. John suffered on the island of Patmos until he received the revelation of Jesus Christ and the end of the Scriptures. Throughout the ages, men have prayed in the testing, in the testing. And God may have appeared at first to be unloving, but in reality, they were better, we are better, because he walked us through the valley of the shadow of death. And we have arrived safely on the other side. The great faith of the Syrophoenician woman is a great picture of what it looks like to walk through faith with our Lord. He may seem silent. Keep praying. Great faith perseveres. Even when people don't understand what you're going through, Jesus understands it. And when you're at the end, remember, he is there for you. Don't stop. It may seem unloving at the time. And I wish I had the time to share stories that I've learned as I've talked with people. Maybe in our small group this week, you can talk about that. What looked like was unloving at the time was now God's greatest kindness to you. And you can look back on it. I can just tell you one as our worship team comes. When we first started to launch this church, and I'm not even sure how many people were even part of that, that are still in this room. Isn't that amazing? We had an offering that we had to take that was going to help meet the needs of our church, and we needed a substantial amount. And I about had a nervous breakdown because all I could think about was it was August 12th, 2012. I wrote that in my other Bible that I have in my office. Actually, it's in this one. It's in this one right here as a reminder. And a loving brother came to me and said, "Nate, we got to believe." And you know, from that moment on, it's not been an issue for me. Because God has every time met our needs. And I can come back and I can look at the situation now and I can say, "Thank you, Lord. I thought it was unloving at the time. But it was your greatest kindness to take me through the step of faith to believe that when I pray, you hear me. And you give me exactly what I need, not what I want. And every step of the way, you're pulling me along to have greater and greater faith." Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We do thank you for our mothers, our wives. We thank you that they're such a blessing and how they even exhibit more faith than us sometimes as men. And how they, in a loving, godly way, in the still of the night, call out to you for their children. Children that have walked away from you. Children that are living in rebellion. children that are struggling with a possible divorce, children that are living in sin. You've given them such a capacity, and they have such an example to us of what genuine faith looks like. They've never given up. And I know that there are some, Lord, that need you right now. And they believe. They believe that you are good and that you hear, and they're waiting to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And yet they're receiving silence. Would you hear them today? Would you answer their prayers, their cries for mercy? Now, God, if there's anyone here today that does not know you, we pray every week. This wasn't a message geared towards salvation, but it is a beautiful picture of God redeeming a situation. And she came by faith. That's how we come to you, by faith. She came repenting. She knew who she was addressing. And that's how we come to you. And so, Father, I pray if there's anyone here who needs your salvation, desires to have a relationship with you, that today you would draw them to yourself, that your Holy Spirit would work and open their eyes, that they might see the glorious truth of the gospel, and that they can be forever changed in a moment. And no longer would their sin be on them, but it would be on you. And you have dealt with it. May they just pray with me, Father, forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe he is my Savior. I repent of my wrongdoing. I repent of only being concerned about myself. And I turn to you. And I pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to sing this song. And I'm going to ask if Jamie and Steph and Christina would come. And if there's any ladies, I'm just going to have them come over there to this area. If there's any ladies that need prayer today, Come to them. Let them pray with you. Let them pray over you and your situation and whatever you're going through. Don't be ashamed. Okay? Come now, ladies. And I'm going to ask Mike and Jeremiah if you guys would come to this side. And guys, if there's anybody that needs to... this resonates with what I'm going through. I need prayer. I need the salvation that Jesus brings. They're here for you. The rest of you, pray, sing as we sing this song of commitment to the Lord.